Men through the years have tried and they have failed to bridge the gap between God and man. Religion's vain attempt to right the wrongs we've done is set aside as we embrace his plan. Finally, we opened our eyes. The day is dawned and now we realize grace triumphs over judgment. Peace went out over war. Love annihilates every kind of hate, and hope is victorious evermore. Light will swallow up all darkness, and faith will conquer every fear. Prejudice will die as we raise the banner high. Sin is gone. He is here, peace is here. We'll try that again. These are words of truth. If you sing them and let your ears hear your mouth say them, who knows, your heart might believe. Men through the years have tried and they have failed to bridge the gap between God and man. Religion's vain attempt to right the wrong we've done is set aside as we embrace his plan. Finally we opened our eyes. The day is dawned and now we realize that grace triumphs over judgment. Peace went out over war. Love annihilates every kind of hate, and love is victorious evermore. I know light will swallow up all darkness, faith will conquer every fear. Prejudice will die as we raise the banner high. Sin is gone, he is here, peace is here. Grace triumphs. Grace triumphs over judgment, thank God. And peace always wins out over war. And love annihilates every kind of hate, and hope is victorious evermore. I said light, it swallows up all darkness. Faith will conquer every fear. Prejudice will die as we raise the banner high. Sin is gone, he is here, peace is here. Grace triumphs over judgment. Thank you, Lord. And peace went out over war. We know that. Love annihilates every form of hate, and hope is victorious evermore. Your light will swallow up darkness, and faith will conquer every fear. Prejudice will die as we raise the banner high. Sin is gone, he is here, peace is here. sin is gone. He is here. Peace is here.
And we've lost two good friends and ministers the past month, as you all know, Floyd Watson and Stacy Wood. They'll really be missed. They were two guys who really stood alongside me, so you hate to lose those kind of guys. But haven't really lost them, we just can't locate them right now.
I'm beside you.
Probably so.
Rattling the ice cubes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know the ice
cubes.
You did. Just as you said that, I seen Paul Watson to say, hey.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Well, Floyd was one of those guys, you know, he preached no conflict, and he really didn't have any. He had no ill will toward anyone. And Stacy Wood, he's probably one of the best Bible teachers we've ever had.
Yeah.
And so that's, we miss not seeing them, but still, like the brother says, they're probably here. Well, I don't really have much to say today, but I'll just share a little bit from my heart, and then we'll just open it up, and everyone can share. My main concern today, and it has always been, is to break religious bondage from people. We heard a story last week, and I told it down in Georgia, but this is a true story. There's a tribe, I don't know where they were, I forget now whether it was in Africa, there was some tribe somewhere who, a friend of ours, it's got to be a friend of ours, went on a missionary journey to this tribe. And this tribe worshiped a god they called Willy Tonka. That's the name they had for Willy, that's the name they had for God. And they worshiped Willy Tonka like we worship Jesus. I mean, they thanked Willy Tonka for the births of their children and for the growth of their fields and their crops, and their whole lives were lived, you know, in praise to this god called Willy Tonka. Well, the Christians came there, and this tribe also was a tribe, they were happy, they were in great unity, and they all worshiped Willy Tonka. But the Christians came and told them that they were worshiping a false god, that God's name wasn't Willy Tonka, that they were worshiping an idol, and if they didn't, and they told them about Jesus, and they said, now if you don't receive Jesus, you're going to go to hell and burn forever. So what happened was they created a great division among that tribe, because some accepted and some didn't. And the ones that didn't were looked at as though they were something less, and of course they were going to go to hell because they didn't accept the Christian gospel. I want you to know that's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. The only reason we believe there's only one way to get to heaven or to be saved, the reason we believe that is that's what we've been told. We don't really know that. We believe it because we've been told that. Now, I realize that Jesus himself said, I am the way. But there's one very important thing to notice about the man Jesus. And that is he never talked about himself. And he never was referring to himself when he spoke. When he said, I am the way, what he was saying is, well, he said this, I of mine own self can do nothing. And so when he was saying, I am the way, he wasn't speaking of himself. He was speaking of the the I am presence, the allness of God that dwelt within him. We know that Jesus was the fullness of God. And Jesus said, I am the door. So Christians say, well, you know, if you don't come to Jesus, you can't be saved. But when he said, I am the door, he wasn't talking again about himself. A door is a way into something else. A door is an entrance. And when he said, I am the door, literally what he was saying is, well, you have to look at my life. You have to recognize that I am, the very presence of God dwells within me. And the I am that door that a man can enter in and find pasture. So all of us have to find that door. But I'm telling you, Jesus never referred to himself when he spoke. It was always speaking of the Father within, of the presence of God, the being of God. He said again, I of mine own self can do nothing. Jesus went to the cross, and that part of him that we consider human went into death. And when he resurrected from among the dead, he left that humanity part of him there. And that's why, what I mean by that is he bodily resurrected. But in resurrection, he could be anything he wanted. That's why Mary didn't recognize him in the garden. You think that if that had been Jesus, that she knew that she would not have recognized, that she would have recognized him? But she didn't. The two guys walking on the way to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until he broke bread, until their eyes were opened, until their ears were opened. Then they recognized him. You see, that's how we have to know Jesus today. Because you'll never see that man of Galilee. Because today he's the resurrected, transcendent embodiment of God still. But he also has a body. He has a corporate body. And the scriptures clearly reveal to us that we are his flesh and his bones. As he is, so are we in this world. So my point is this, and I've been saying this for years, and what you know intellectually and what you believe intellectually does not always count for a whole lot. But what is in your heart? If in your heart you were raised in a foreign culture and you begin to worship God and you come up with the name Wally Tonka, you think that offends God? I don't. Some people say that you have to say his name right, Yeshua, because Jesus is a pagan name. Jesus is a derivative of Zeus, which is a false god. So you can't call him Jesus. You have to call him Yeshua. And then there's other groups that say, well, you can't really call him Yeshua. You have to call him Yahashua. You have to put an H in it. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you have to find that within yourself, as he did. You cannot cling onto somebody's skirts by saying, Jesus, I receive you. There's people all over the world that go to crusades and go say, Jesus, I receive you. There's millions all over the world. They don't know more no God than a donkey. But they've been told they need to do that to get to heaven. Yet somebody who doesn't know anything about God, yet lives out of a heart of gratitude and worship and serving humanity, they will say that person's gone to hell because they don't believe right, or they haven't received Jesus. I tell you, we have to break down those religious concepts. Yes, yes. Jesus himself said there's only two things that you ever need to do. Only two. And one of them wasn't believe right. He said the only thing you need to do is love the Lord your God and to love one another. Now, if you love God, regardless of who you think he is or what his name is or what he did or he didn't do, if you love God and serve humanity, you will fulfill all of the law. And so my goal is to somehow convince everyone of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Because we are all... You listen, if you didn't come out of God, where did you come from? Well, a lot of people think they come out of an egg and a sperm. That's where your body came from. But where did you come from? You come from the same place Jesus came from. No difference. There's absolutely no difference in the quality of your life and in the quality of Jesus' life. There's absolutely no difference in the spirit. Job said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. You don't get that from a preacher. You don't get that by going to church. You know what you get when you go to church? You get doctrine. You get doctrine. And if you don't believe it right, then you can't be a part of that fellowship. And that's why the world mocks Christianity. They all carry the same Bible. They all believe in the same God. But they all more or less curse one another because they don't believe alike. But there's only one substance, one source of life, and that's God. And every man has that being and that source deep within them, whether they know it or not. The Gospel of John says it this way: Jesus was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. There's no one left out. Well, what is that light? Job says... Proverbs says, 20:27 says that the spirit of man is the light or the candle of the Lord. So every man has that substance of God in their being. And that is what God sees. There's a man on TV, I watched something I recorded and I just got to watch last night. Probably a lot of you have heard about this guy who says he's the second coming of Jesus.
Oh, I love him.
Now, he said that two angels appeared to him and told him he was the second coming of Jesus. And when I, it's funny, but just last night I was questioning that, and the Lord said, well, so are you. I think he may have misunderstood a little bit what he heard, because it's not an individual, it's a corporate man. You see, and the body of Christ today is the second coming. And when they ask him, point blank, are you saying you are Jesus? Are you the same Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago? You know what he said? He didn't say that. He said the same Spirit. He's got people following him in several different countries. But why? Because he teaches them that you're free. And God loves you regardless. And there is no sin. Boy, won't that wipe you out? He has a drink. This guy has a drink. He smokes.
His secretary or whatever is dressing.
He reminds me of that. He reminds me of that guy in Glendale. What was that guy we used to listen to?
With the stony cigar.
Yes. Yes, the guy. What was his name?
Gene Scott.
Gene Scott. I used to listen to him when I was a young guy. Because this guy was a teacher of teachers. And And if you watch him on his, of course he's gone now, but if when he had a live satellite feed 24 hours a day, and you watch him, he'd sit there and smoke cigars and preach.
Sunglasses.
And cuss like a sailor. I'll never forget, one of the first times I saw him on TV was right after Jim Baker fell. Jim Baker was caught. And when Jim Baker was caught, Jimmy Swaggart said, "Jim Baker, you're a cancer in the body of Christ." That was just before he got trapped. And this Gene Scott said, "Jimmy Swaggart, somebody ought to kick your ass." He said that right on TV.
Oh, hallelujah. Preach it, brother.
I mean, folks, we got to get real.
Yes, that's right.
There is none of us perfect in the flesh.
Amen.
We are all on a journey back to where we came from. But believe me, it's not a religious journey. It is for most people, but it is not anything about being religious. It's about being, I mean, why are we here? We're here to enjoy this physical realm. That's why we're here. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing needs to be fixed. We're here to enjoy, to love God, and to love one another. That's what it's all about. It's not about not smoking and not drinking and not cussing and none of that stuff. And they asked this guy, they said, "Well, this Jesus," who said he's Jesus, says, "Well, if there's no sin," he said, "what about somebody that steals?" And he said, "Oh, well, that's cause and effect.
Yep.
Sowing and reaping." Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with God or sin. It's just, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. This guy, he had some pretty good answers. But if you look at him, he's a cigarette in his hand and sitting there with a drink in his hand. But yet, if you really have studied Scripture, you see that Jesus did the same thing. How could they call him a drunkard and a wine bibber if they never caught him with a drink? And the point I'm trying to make is that, we are all in this physical body, and we came from this very same place that Jesus came from. The only difference is he evidently didn't forget it. And if he did, he remembered at a very early age who he was. And that is why he accomplished what he did, because he knew who he was. And we're just now finding out. But the substance in life, in our life, is absolutely no different than what Jesus carried around. And that's why the Apostle Paul said that we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that we must put on, or we must operate out of the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and became a servant to all." See, there's that serving it. It's loving God and serving one another. That, I'll tell you what, we could forget doctrine, forget preaching, baptism, forget everything, and just teach people to love God and love one another. And what happens when that? What happens when you begin to do that? You begin to hear God speak to you. And then you do what he says, not what the preacher says, but what he says. It's the most, you know, the true gospel message is the most liberating, freeing message you'll ever hear if you can receive it. The very first message that the angels gave to the shepherds in the field was that peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. That's a gospel message. And then John, you know, in the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, he "Behold the man, the Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world." Yet we still say, "Oh, there's," we don't believe it. But if you do believe it, if you can get that into you where you really believe that Jesus took away the sin of the world, you won't find any in you. Because if you believe it, you'll receive it. And I'm not saying you won't ever make mistakes, you won't ever, you know, maybe lose your temper. I'm just saying that you'll realize that you will empty your consciousness of sin. You will not have a sin consciousness. You will have a consciousness of expectation that every day of your life you're going to be more conformed into His image and likeness. Where if you're the typical Christian, like I was for many years, every time I got up in the morning, I kept thinking about what am I going to do today to be able to overcome? And I never made it. But when you realize that you were never meant to overcome, but you have one in you who can do nothing but overcome. Mm-hmm. See, that's why Jesus said again, of mine own self, I can't do anything. He made it so clear that it's not about the man Jesus, it's about the substance of life that he carried within him. Amen. It's nothing about the man. And that's why it's been so hard for us as Christians to meet this standard that we've all had, is because we think that Jesus was something that we could never be. But once you understand that there is no difference in spirit, Paul said it this way, he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. That means my spirit and the Holy Spirit are one spirit. There can't be two. There's only one spirit. Paul said there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Lord. And it doesn't matter what you call him. It's what is in your heart. If you have this heart of gratitude and you're worshiping a God you don't even maybe know who he is. So you call him Willy Tonka, or you call him Allah, or you call him whatever. It's not what's between your ears, it's what's in your heart that counts. So why should we try to convince anybody that we have the way and there is only one way? Now, what happens is, eventually, those that have a heart for God, eventually everyone will recognize that Jesus is the head of the body. Amen. You know what? It's not our place to convince them that that's true.
That's exactly right.
Our place is to love them regardless. That's right. I've often said, you know, if you worship a frog, I'll still fellowship with you. And I don't have to convince you I'm right. But you know what? If we really have the substance of God, people will know that when they're around us. You don't have to preach. You don't have to tell them what to do. You just be who you are. And pretty soon they'll start to ask. I used to have people at work years ago. I'd go into work on Monday morning and they'd say, how can you be so happy on Monday morning? And I never preached. I know. But there's something different about you when you just don't have a... If you have a head full of doctrines, you're repulsive. You'll run people away. You'll tell people God loves you, but if you don't do, you know, be careful, because that God that loves you, he'll throw you in a pit and burn you forever. I don't know that God. I'm glad I don't. I can never reconcile that. Neither can you, even if you believe that. You cannot reconcile that. You cannot reconcile a God who kills, maims, murders, and will torture people eternally. You cannot reconcile that concept of God with what Jesus taught. You can't do it. Oh, you can say, well, there was an age of law, and now it's grace. That don't cut it. God don't change. God has never ever been anything but pure love and compassion. And once we understand that, then that's... See, you will become whatever you believe God is. If you believe what God is, one of love and compassion and benevolence, and you know, that's what you'll become. Whatever idol or whatever picture of God you have in your mind is what you'll become. And that's why Christians are so mean. Because they have a God that if they don't, you know, if they're not careful, they'll get tortured forever. Yeah. Think of that. There isn't a scripture, there's nothing to base that doctrine on except fear. That's the key that every church will use to keep you in bondage, is fear. And as long as you fear being deceived or being misled, you'll never know the truth. You cannot discover the truth of your own being if you have fear. Because you won't touch certain things, you won't read certain books, you won't be around certain people because you're afraid their influence might get you. That's religion's big trick to keep you in bondage. And we're free. We are so free. It's unbelievable how free you are. Now, again, that doesn't mean that there aren't consequences for your actions. But you're free. And God wants you to be free. The most joyous and wonderful people in the world are the people who are not under religious bondage. But people who love God and love one another. Isn't it wonderful to know you don't have to believe right? You know, and if it's a matter of believing right, how are we going to figure it out?
Right.
Because look at all the churches and all the different doctrines and everything. I mean, how are we going to figure out what's right if it's a matter of believing right? And I'm not taking anything away from the scriptures and the truth of Jesus being everything that he said he was. And being the head of the body, the Lord of the body, the Savior of the world. That's who he is. But I can't convince you of that. You have to discover that for yourself. And the only way I can help you discover that is by loving you, and ministering to you, and sharing with you my thoughts, but not forcing anything. It's not a matter of law, and it's a matter of just being open to people and sharing with people and loving one another, and loving God. This is going to tell you what. There will come a day when we will fill stadiums with this message.
Yes.
We will. Because the world needs to know they are not in bondage to anything. You never have to go to church. You never have to tithe.
Amen.
I wonder how many churches we'd have if pastors would ever, on Sunday morning, all across America, get up and tell the people, you never have to give again. You don't have to tithe. Well, you'd lose about 90% of the churches in a month. So that tells you something's wrong. People are living under a law. They're not living out of a heart and a love for God. Because, see, if you really love God, you won't even consider a tithe. You'll give whatever you have. Whether you need it or you don't need it, you just give because you see a need. I mean, it's so wonderful to be free. Isn't it wonderful to be free?
Yes.
We have a brother here that he does a lot of CD duplication. He'll take my messages and other messages, and he duplicates and just gets out dozens and dozens of CDs. So this morning he was asking me how much is a CD duplicator, because he needs to buy one because he's putting out a lot of stuff. Well, I had three of them, so I gave him one.
Hey.
But see, that's it. I mean, that's... What else is there? I guarantee you it'll be replaced. And if it isn't, it doesn't matter. I can get along with two. So, I mean, this whole thing is about loving God and serving humanity.
Yes.
And if you do that, nobody has to tell you need to give. Nobody has to tell you anything, because I wish every Christian in the world could hear the voice of God. That would be so wonderful, because that would empty the churches too. And I'm not saying we don't need fellowship. We do need fellowship. But we don't need somebody telling us how to live our lives. And we don't need somebody to go before God to get a message for us so that, you know, so that we can hear from God. We don't need that. The only time you need that is when you're first coming into an understanding. You need somebody to help you with your understanding and maybe share with you. But I'll tell you what, we don't need one man that is just does everything. When I pastored a church, they'd call me up. When I first started pastoring a church in Oregon, they'd call me up and they'd say, so-and-so's in the hospital. I'd say, go visit him. But pastor... and Carol will tell you, we'd have a potluck at the church, and they'd all gather around. They'd want to pray before the meal, and they'd all look to me. I'd say, don't look at me. I ain't praying. If you want to pray, you pray. But after we were there for 3 years, I could go in and sit down in the back of the church. I didn't even have to get up. The music would start. The worship would start. The sharing would start. But that's the kind of liberty we have to teach people. They are free and they can hear God.
You think?
Some of them you wonder. And you have to wonder. I've had people tell me that, well, God told me such and such. And I think, oh, God. But you got to leave them alone. Because that's how you learn. I thought God said something to me that I found later on. I think I must have been listening to someone else. But see, the main thing is the heart. If your heart is right, you make all kind of mistakes. It doesn't matter. And whatever mistakes you make, God's going to cover it anyway. So you're okay. If you keep your heart right and you love one another, everything will be wonderful. Well, that's all I have to share. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434, for information concerning her music. True identity.